Our God is great. Our God is mighty. Our God is glorious. And our God is excellent all the time. I want to speak to us from a general encouragement and instructions for fathers in the house. When it was Mother's Day, I didn't think I preached on mothers anything. But it became so strong in my spirit, man, that I have to share about fathers. And thank God, God gave me a word to speak to us this morning. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you breathe upon your word. As we declare it, as we speak it, let the people hear your voice. In Jesus' mighty name. The buck stops at the leader's table. Fathers are leaders, the primary leaders in the home. I'm taking my reading, the text. There'll be several readings. I'm taking my text from 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 16 through to 25. 1 Samuel 12, 16 through to 25. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. It is not wheat harvest today. I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. For then shall ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. Verse 25. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. May God once again breathe upon this word. Amen. Up until this time in the history of the children of Israel, God was their go-to. Amen. In everything they did, they sought God through the prophet in the land. And suddenly one day, they woke up, they conferred among themselves, They wanted to be like other nations. It's nothing new that even today, we still want to be like other people. I see born again, blood bought, and delivered children of God, speaking in tongues, anointed of the Holy Ghost, who still want to live like the Jews. It's an error. It's an error. You can't be born again and seek to live like a Jewish man and pray like a Jew. Because that is not the dispensation we are in. We are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Jews don't believe in that. The Jews don't believe in Jesus Christ. Given well that there are people favored of God, but that is not the issue today. The issue is that the people said, we don't want God as our Father anymore. We want to have a king that will rule over us like every other person. And Samuel was wrought, and God told him, don't bother about it. Tell them this and this and this and that. Samuel was a father to the nation of Israel. Amen? When they had a problem, who do they go to? They go to Samuel. And Samuel draws from the wisdom of God. Samuel draws from the grace of God and speaks into their lives, intervene in their situation. Praise the Lord. Today, there are fathers here listening to me. I'm a father myself. By God's grace, I'm blessed with 5 biological children and many spiritual children beyond those who are here. Hallelujah. We men, we bear the same name with God. Father. I learned recently that the Canadian nation is changing their national anthem to be gender neutral. Because they can't just be saying Father anymore. That's the world we live in. Amen. The man is God's representative on this earth. The man is God's representative on earth. And God is willing to use any man who is yielded to him. God wants to bring significance on any man who is willing to follow God. Like I've told us before, if you are willing to follow, God is ready to lead. Hallelujah. But to be a father is a great responsibility. If you are a single man, you won't understand it until the day you become a father. Your wife is pregnant, you are yet to have a baby. You can't really understand it yet until you become a father. Big responsibility. God puts the man in charge of the family. But today, men are no longer playing that role. Many men are no longer in charge of the family. Many men have abdicated that position and have treated it with levity. God put Adam in charge of the garden. Adam abdicated his responsibility to the extent that the devil came in his very presence and messed up everything. And like Adam today, we blame somebody for what and who we are responsible for. You can't blame. Amen? You can't blame somebody. You can't blame somebody else for what and who you are responsible for. Adam said, "It is the woman you gave me." That's a lame blame. A lame blame. And a lame excuse. Indeed. Praise the Lord. Fathers are like the Holy Spirit. Fathers are teachers. Amen. Fathers direct in truth. Amen. And fathers are comforters. Fathers affirm their children. Men, fathers value and place premium on their spouse. Men are to make their wives feel important. I will feel very, very sad if my wife should tell me that I don't make her feel important. That's number one, is an indictment on my position. Amen. I need to value her. A man needs to value his wife, the mother of his children, regardless. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 46 verse 1, that God is our present help in the times of trouble. Fathers are meant to be present help. The number one show up in the times of trouble, in the family and in the community. That is to say, we must step up. The nation is going down. The world is going down because men are no longer taking their rightful places. Men are becoming women. Husbands are changing to wives. Now a man is called she. Some are called she, he, or he, she. That's the abomination of the time we live in. Because premium is no longer placed on that position. Premium is no longer placed on the family. It is the failure of men. Hallelujah. Men are not supposed to abandon a captain that abandons his ship is a failure already. Hallelujah. Threat comes into your family. The devil rears his ugly head in your family. And you can't stand up and dispel that threat. You can't stand up and defend your family. Fathers are disciplinarians in the home. These are things that Samuel, as a father of nations, these are things he did for the children of Israel. He was there as their comforter. He was there as their support. He was there as their direction. He was there as their advisor. He was there as their prayer partner. Amen. Samuel, God used him to maintain the standard of God in the land of Israel. You remember that Samuel took over from Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli. Amen? I'm going to read a scripture very soon, but not now. Now, in my home, I'm the disciplinarian through and through. I raise the standard. I maintain the standard. And from time to time, I raise it again. And because of that, my children see me sometimes as the good, then the bad, and then the ugly. That's who a father is supposed to be. You chastise, and then you love. Amen? Now, because we are disciplinarians does not mean we should forget to love. Someone said, you guys, you have done wickedly. And God is angry against you. But anyway, even though you want a king, don't turn away from God, though. That's love. Because naturally they were rejecting him. He could tell them, who cares about you? Go and find your king. He was even the one that went on errand to find the king. That's love. And anywhere love is, genuine love, you find the fear of God roving around that place. Somebody listening to me. Hallelujah. As fathers, we must tell our children what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. As in this church, I will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. My youngest daughter, she's full of it. Believe me, she's full of it. She comes to you with a demand that she knows is wrong. Who wakes up in the morning and wants ice lolly instead of breakfast? It's very simple things, right? And you say, no, but daddy, but I want to say something. Listen to me. No, is my no. But daddy, I'm saying this thing, but I have to say. I say, you can't say it. The answer is still no. But you are playing games with her and she lost. She will tell you, that is unfair, you cheated. She must be the one to win. And many of us are like that. It must be our way. It has to just be what we want and the way we want it. Let me tell you something. With God, it can never be like that. And if you are to mature and be the right person, you better accept instructions that may not go down well with your body, may not go down well with your feelings. This was who Samuel was. Father set the boundaries in the family. You can't go beyond this. I never tell my children, male or female, don't have friends, opposite sex. That's fine. You have to interact with people. But these are the boundaries. Don't cross that line. If you cross that line, the repercussion is yours. Amen? You shortchange yours. I will be disappointed, God forbid, but then you shortchange yourself. Because as you grow up, as you grow older, the responsibility becomes your own. But sometimes as parents, when we speak, and as I'm speaking as a father over this house, many will still not listen. Many will still want to do what they feel they want to do. Let me give you another example, because we act like babies many times. I see it. Your iPad has 2% power. And you still want to play with it. And then it dies. Then you say, "Mommy, charge it for me. This dead." And then they charge it. 2 minutes after charging it, you are back. "I want my app." "It's still charging." "No, I want it now." This happened in my house not too long ago. And my wife said, "No, leave it. It's charged." I said, "Let him take it, or let her take it. She will learn that she still has to come back again." But if you had learned to be patient and listen to the instruction, that's what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 4. Sometimes we parents, we are like aliens in our homes. Amen? Or we are like ignoramus. We don't know what we are talking about. Amen? "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." This is the voice of God to us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at the last advice that Samuel gave to the children of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going somewhere. 1 Samuel 12. 23 and 24. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I will sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." That's what a father does. A father will always still care. "I will teach you." Did you hear that? "I will teach you the good and the right way." Now look at the advice. "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. I will not always be there, but make sure you do the right thing. I may not follow you to work. I may not be there with you at school. I may not be there when you are doing your transactions." Hallelujah. Amen. It says, "Fear the Lord." Amen. Amen. Serve him in truth and with all your heart. "For consider how great things he has done for you." Look at 1 Samuel. I said I was going to read something about the children of Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. "And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all these people." This is Eli speaking to his children. Now, let me ask us a question before I progress. Answer it in your mind. Was Eli a bad father or a good father? Maybe that will be a subject of one of our Bible studies. Was he a good father or was he a bad father? Because here is him, we hear him talking. Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. No, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. May we hear good report about you. May you hear good report about me. It says, ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Don't make God's people to sin. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Now, this is where I'm going. He said, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father. Why? Because God was going to kill them. In spite of how much we have heard the word of God, and we still become recalcitrant. If we don't change, it means judgment is at the door. A father repeats the warning over and over again. You don't see, I have two sons that are grown. Even when I advise them, should they choose not to follow I can't box them. Amen. And I can't take a cane. Imagine me taking a cane to beat David. That ain't going to work. No. All I can do is still speak and pray. Hoping that, hey, God is going to touch their hearts. Hallelujah. But should we not hear? It says, danger is at the door. Hallelujah. And at the same time, the Bible says, we as fathers in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't be a provocateur at home. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. One of the challenges of David failed with most of his children. He was a great king. Amen. But he failed with most of his children. For example, Absalom did what was wrong. I don't know if I've told you this before. Absalom killed his stepbrother who slept with his sister. And David said, get out of my face. I don't want to see you anymore. And that was the end of it. A father doesn't do like that. Amen. At some point, you will call this child, right? And say, sit down. What you have done is wrong, this and that and that. That, we don't know if Absalom tried to seek audience with David again several times, that David refused to see him. And because David refused to see him, the boy decided, you know what? I will unseat this man. Praise the Lord. I will unseat him. You know, when we sin against God and turn away from him, God has a way of poking us and still trying to call us back. You understand what I'm trying to say? And until we totally refuse, then it lives up to a reprobate mind. I pray that we'll not have reprobate minds. Every father must do everything not to lose their children. I pray that none of us will lose our children. We will not lose our children to the world. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, at home, as a father, it's easy to say what you want and talk. Do this, do this, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. You do this, you do that. For our children, that's not enough. Saying it is not enough. They want to see us do it. Amen? We must be a living example. Do you know the irony of life is? Many of us are living examples outside our homes. But not living examples at home. You are nice to everybody outside. But when you are at home, you pick a quarrel, even with your chair. You kick the dog and the cat. Let me give you an example. Your wife's car breaks up. And she said, honey, can you take the car to the mechanic or call the mechanic later? Let me use me as a pastor, for example, and be my judge. And then, maybe the same day or the following day, sister so-and-so say, pastor, there's trouble. What happened? My car broke down on 435. And then I pick my key and get on the road to go and help sister on 435. My wife's car is still broken. Judge. Huh? They say charity. It starts from home. If I can't fix my wife's car, sorry, your car will be on 435. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If I can't, how dare you try to be who you are not at home, out of the home? Even in evangelism, it starts from home. We have not evangelized our home. We are going to Jericho to evangelize. I've not evangelized my family. And then, God is sending me to India to go and preach to the Indians. Preach to your family first. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting me? We as fathers, we must do the right thing all the time. There is no room for error. No room. Did somebody hear me? Am I saying it's easy? No, it's not. But it might be your mistake that your children will notice. And they will just absorb it. We just don't talk the talk. We walk the walk. Hallelujah. That's why Samuel was able to say in 1 Samuel 12, verse 3 and 4, he says, "Here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe which to blind my eyes?" Do you know bribery blind the eyes? Nigerians are the king of bribery. Amen. A man has a job he begged for. Then he gets to the job. Those of us who travel to Nigeria, it's normal that your bag should come and roll through the carousel and you pick it. Nothing to declare, something to declare. All of them must declare. Oh God, what did you bring for us? As if I'm the one that put you in that position. You are supposed to do your job and earn your salary. Don't wait on the... And a lot of us, well, let me give him and just quickly, let him not waste my time. The last time I traveled to Nigeria, I bought these open heavens as my hand luggage, heavy. And there was this guy checking hand luggage weight. He said, you can't take that on the plane, oh. I said, this one. This one is going. He's expecting me to give him something. Anybody who look at me very well, before I became a pastor, it was a sacrilege. I can't do it. He said, you are not flying. I said, you? Did you buy my ticket? You are not serious. He left me, I left him. He went to wait for me at the boarding gate. He now called people and said, this thing is too heavy. It's not going, this and that. I said, this one is going on. So one guy now saw us. He said, okay, I don't have any hand luggage. I will help you. I'll take one. There were two bags. I'll take one. I said, okay, thank you. The guy still said, he can't take it. Yeah. You know that kind of person is looking for trouble. I said, today, you are going to go and call your manager. This one, I'm flying. The manager now came. Actually, my pastor friend now called their manager. He now came. What's going on? And I told him. And said, okay, let him go. I'm not a wicked man. But I looked at the guy's face. You know, as you walk past somebody in slow motion. Is that, did I not tell you? Amen. In the same line, you see people shunting and you see officials taking people from the line to go to the front. And we are praying, Lord bless Nigeria. It starts from there. Praise the Lord. Whose donkey have I taken? Who have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed, or whose hand have I received any bribe which to blind my eyes? He said, I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Before I challenge you, I challenge myself before you. If I have cheated you, if I've robbed you, if I've lied to you, say so. And judge me. We are called as fathers to be men of integrity. As transparent as can be. You know why? Not because of the people, but because heaven is at stake. That's the thing that should fear us the most. Amen? Is it that we don't have blind spots? Yes. Everybody has blind spots. Perfection is this. Perfection is not in not falling. Perfection is in falling and seeking forgiveness and rising. Don't be a defender of yourself. Rather, be a self-corrector. Our children are given to us as fathers to instruct in God's ways. And now, that may be a very big issue. How do I direct my children in the ways of God? If you don't know that way, you can't. You have to know before you can. A man cannot give what he does not have. That is why if you look at your bulletin and you look at the characteristics of the man that God wants, is the man that first and foremost will take his family into the presence of God. Is a man that is always in the face of God. Is a man that loves the Lord and does not excuse himself. Is a man who is a worshiper openly in the presence of his children. Some of us have become too macho that we can't even cry in the presence of our wives so that she won't think we are weak. Hallelujah. Amen. On whose neck else would you cry? You can't see God. Amen? A man who does not admit he needs help is not a man at all. You want me to say it again? A man who does not admit that he needs help is not a man. Even God saw it from the beginning that this guy needs help. Every man needs help. Oh, you don't have a job now, but your wife has a job. And your pride will not allow you in that home. That's wrong. But when your wife doesn't have a job, and you have a job, she can come and collect. We forget that the two shall become one. You see, if husband and wife have not become one in their money, they are not one. Hello? You are just kidding yourselves. You are two tenants living in the same house under agreement of common purpose. Praise the Lord. What God has joined together, let no salary put asunder. If this is mine and that is yours, there's already division in that home. We must have a reason to always come together and discuss. And money is one of the reasons we need to come together and discuss. If my wife knows my paycheck, the money is gone. It's because both of you have not sat down and really prioritized your home. Maybe you need counseling. Come and see me. Praise the Lord. God said in Genesis 18, 17 to 19 to Abraham, and the Lord said, shall I hide? This is another truth here. Shall I hide from Abraham, what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. In order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken unto him. The Bible says that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and our children. So God says, I can't hide the truth. Because if I show him the truth, It will go beyond him. It will reach his children. It will reach his household. It will reach his family. But if you are not receiving from God, you don't have anything to teach. Before, if we are not careful, television will become the teacher. Remember what I said about technology the other day? Technology will become the teacher. As good as those things may be, they might rob our children of their morals and the fear of God. Amen? Our children know when we are doing the wrong things. Hello? We may think we are hiding it from them. They know. They know. But sometimes they are not grown up enough to challenge us. Praise the Lord. But hey, sneaking, they too will start sneaking. And you won't realize that this guy saw it. Amen? But let's go to Walmart. Get to Walmart. And you and Auntie were talking. Say hello to Auntie. You didn't say Auntie who? We got home. If your son say, we saw Auntie. That's all the boy can say. Now, if the mother says, my son said you saw auntie. Now, you have to fill in the gap of the auntie. But you don't really want to say who is the auntie. But one day, you know that alarm always blow. Secrets, they always come out eventually. There is no way. It always comes out. Amen. They know when we are doing the right thing. They know when we are doing the wrong thing. Praise the Lord. Finally, because of the choices we make, God can bless our children, and God can ignore our children, and God can allow a curse to come upon our children. The Bible says in 1 Kings 11, 9 to 13, so the Lord became angry with Solomon. I mean, in fact, God is very patient. Amen? Sometimes I wonder, why did God not show up to him like he showed up to him in Gibeon? Say, Solomon, how many wives do you want to marry? It's time to stop. But because we have free will, and I'm sure at some point God will have poked his conscience. 300 wives. Oh, man. I don't even know how to keep two women. Not to talk about 300 plus 700 girlfriends. Oh my God. Jesus, you are Lord. That man became totally derailed. God became angry with him because his heart was turned away. This is another thing. Who you marry, single people, who you marry can push you to God or drive you away from God. You are hot spiritually now. If you marry the wrong person, you will die cold. Let's go to church. Stretching like a worm. I'm tired. You know. You are tired? No. Sleep in the car. When we get to church, you'll be well. Praise the Lord. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord, God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, watch this, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Now, this is where I'm going. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. Why? For the sake of your father, David. See the influence of a father right there. Because the father did what was right. The father did what was right in the eyes of God. And God decided to have mercy on the children. You see, our responsibility goes beyond when we are alive. What we do will live after us. Is it not said that the deeds of men live after them? It said, but for your father's, David's sake, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Should our son inherit our trouble? Should our son inherit our trouble when we are praying for generational problems to stop? What we do, how we do, how we serve God. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son, for the sake of my servant David, because God said somebody will always be on that throne from the house of David. And for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Now, there was a king that said, Lord, thank you. Don't do it in my time. Do it in my children's time. Hezekiah, thank you. Do it in my children's time. Curse my children, not me. And somebody like Herod, the tetrarch, he always kills his sons because he doesn't want them to take the throne from him. What are our children going to inherit from us? Hallelujah. Fathers are extremely important in God's plan for life. Brethren, fathers, men, brothers, sisters, we must reflect God. In all our daily dealings, we must reflect. Men, we must reflect God as our Father. Reflect who He is in our daily dealings. And I pray that God will grant that grace to us, that as men, as fathers, we will not fail. We will not fail in our calling. We will not fail in our responsibilities. I pray for women. I pray for mothers here. You will not labor in vain. You will not fail in your responsibilities. You see the difference here today? The amen of the women were louder than the amen of the men. It's amen. Shout hallelujah. You will hardly hear their voice. But say women, shout hallelujah. Ah, the whole place will shake. All men, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't hear hallelujah. I heard hallelujah. That's what I heard. Men, shout hallelujah. Uh-huh. Women, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.